Amen. Our sermon this morning comes from Amos chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Amos 5, verse 14. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, there is wailing in the plazas, and in all the streets they say, alas, alas. They also call the farmer to mourning, and professional mourners to lamentation, and in all the vineyards there is wailing, because I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now to fully receive what you say, to believe it, to know it, to live it, to testify, to speak of this truth to one another, that we will display the value of your truth, the value of your love, and that we will live as your sons and your daughters. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The benefits of peace. The benefits of peace are amazing. As a man who is a sinner and as a man who lives with several other sinners, I know that there is oftentimes, there are even continuously, tension in a household where you have one or more sinners. But as we deal with sin in our own house and as we deal with sin in our relationships, it definitely causes tension and it causes pains. And I'm a man who gets very worked up about situations. And if there's some situation, I want to attack it with everything I have at that moment and I want it done and over with. But in my life, that's not always an option. There have been times where my wife Leslie has said, there's something that we are going to need to talk about, but now won't be the right time. It drives me insane. I want to know what it is. I want the topic, at least the topic. I want all the details, and oftentimes I want all the details so that I can vindicate myself. Prove that I'm right. Prove that I am not at fault. There have been times where she has told me, I've written you a letter, but I haven't printed it yet. I'll give it to you at some point, and it drives me insane because I want the tension and the situations dealt with. Well, one of these times where I was frustrated and I'm worked up and I'm having trouble doing any of my other business because I need to know what is going on. She's come to me and she said to me, you understand that whatever we have to work through, we're still good. Whatever we have to work through, you and me, we're okay for the rest of our lives. That whatever this issue that is that we have to deal with, we're not going to be undone because of it. And that's caused me to step back and to take a breath and say, okay, this is where we are and this is the foundation. Whatever it is we have to deal with, we're going to be okay. And when the Lord Jesus Christ deals with us, He deals with us within that context. That the battle, that warred between us and God, it's been satisfied. Jesus took the punishment that you and I deserved. And though that there are issues and there are tensions and things still need to be worked through, your sin's been covered. You and God, you're good. You're okay. You've been blessed and you've been loved. Now, that being the reality, if she has to come to me consistently and say, you've left all of your stubble in the sink again, and again, and again, and again, there's going to be a tension there. And it needs to be worked out. There are issues that have to be worked out. And there's a benefit. There's a benefit when the tensions are worked out. There's a particular piece where you can look at your life and say, I've dealt with these things, or at least I am dealing with these things. Well, God comes and God is speaking to the people here, and He's dealing with them as His sons, as His daughters. He's explained that other portions of Amos, you're the ones that I've selected. You're the ones that I've chosen. Has there ever been anybody else, any other nation that I've called out from among the nations and called you my children? Saying, that's the reality. But from that reality, He goes on to say, now seek good and not evil. He goes on to say, establish justice. Make this being my son, being my daughter, make this being my people, make that the reality of your life. This you and me being good, make it the reality as you throw off all these things, as you throw off all this filth, as you throw off all this emptiness. And we'll look like exactly who we proclaim to be. Father and son, father and daughter, people at peace, even husband and wife at peace with one another. So we see that you and I, we live in this blessed presence of the Lord. And He calls on us consistently to seek the benefits of that relationship. Seek the benefits of knowing Him. So this is the call this morning to seek those benefits. Seek those benefits in your life. The first step is do not seek evil. And I'm glad the congregation didn't do a collective duh just now. Oh, the pastor doesn't want us to seek evil. That is refreshing, but I'm surprised. That's not the reality. And we're not surprised when God says, do not seek evil. But as we explore a little closer, we'll look at verse 14 again. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. This idea of evil, and we touch on this, it's destruction. And that makes sense. God, because He loves you, He says, don't seek destruction. Don't seek those things that will destroy you. You see, we look at our lives and we're just so prone to run to those things that will destroy us. We look at a one-year-old and we see that as reality. We look at a two-year-old, we see that as reality. Why do we watch children? Because they're always about to kill themselves. They're always about to do something ridiculous and get themselves hurt. They're prone to it. They run to it. Why? And why do you and I? Why is it that a bowl of ice cream looks so much better than a bowl of celery? I don't know. It tastes better, but it's going to kill us. Why is it all these other things are just so seem so sweet, and all these other things just seem so delicious, but they're death? They're an undoing. And we can look through all of the scriptures, or we can look through all of the Ten Commandments, and we could just work through them one at a time, and then eventually we will. And we'll see that all these things that He has given us, and He says, you shall have no other gods before Me. That is, you shall set nothing else up higher than Me. You shall love nothing more than Me. You shall rejoice in nothing more than Me and nothing more than what I say. Why? Because it's death to put something else before God. God Himself is life. Now we look at our lives, and how often is it the case that we seek after evil? How often is it the case that we would seek after a distraction? Something that doesn't last, something that isn't real, something that doesn't matter, something staged, something fake. In essence, something actually that's just empty and meaningless. Why do we do that? Why do we want to be distracted from reality? Reality itself is truth. Truth is reality. Reality is truth. Truth is that expression of reality. How much more do we love things that are not? Emptiness. Distraction. Rebellion, or replacement for what is real, replacement for what is true. Even many of the things that we would pursue in social media or Facebook, for example, we want a relationship that doesn't cost us anything. Well, there'll be no requirement. Nothing's going to have to take place. You don't have to give of yourself. You just shout what you think. And if somebody else doesn't like it, who cares? We can pretend that we're interacting with people when we're not at all. An emptiness, a distraction from reality and from truth. Now, the other side of do not seek evil, and we see it in verse 14, that is to seek good. Well, the idea of good is a welfare or a benefit. And the reason that we're given here, seek good and not evil, that you may live, and thus may the Lord of hosts be with you. How's that sound? Sounds pretty good. Rather than the things that are empty and the things that don't matter, as you're seeking evil or seeking destruction or seeking just distractions, seeking good, those benefits of keeping God's word is the presence of God. It's meeting with Him. It's knowing Him. If we take our favorite TV show, whatever your favorite TV show is, or your favorite movie, or whatever this distraction is, or your favorite activity on the computer, and we just take that thing and we set it here and we say, I could have this, or I could have God's Word now, and fellowship with Him, and meet with Him, and have my soul nourished, be strengthened. Interaction through prayer and God's Word, the Holy One who always was and always will be, and has given His Son to save my soul. Well, I don't know. And we've gotten ourselves into the place where we don't even ask the question. It's a given. It's a given. That we'd rather have what is not. What doesn't cost us anything. We'd rather have what distracts us from really dealing with the truth. Last weekend was Presbytery. A man was being interviewed and being examined in personal godliness. And they asked him a question about prayer. And I stopped myself from laughing out loud at his response. He said, oh yes, prayer is good and very important. And the whole entire presbytery didn't do a collective da, thankfully. But he went on to say something that I found very meaningful. He said that he believes that anyone that neglects prayer is running from God. And I hated it when he said that, because it was very true. I've seen it in my life. Gasp, the pastor runs from God. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I don't want to know. I don't want to know what he's going to tell me to do. Sometimes I don't want to give up what he wants me to give up. I don't want to have to talk to the people he wants me to talk to. But meeting with him and seeking good, that is, meeting with him, it is studying his word to learn what he's really like. Not this image of him that we've made in our own image. It's having the courage to go and talk to him. To tell him where we really are. What we really think. What we really need. That's seeking good. Seeking him in his word. Seeking him in prayer. This is why Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." First, above television, above computers, above social media and above Facebook, above all of these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these other things that we imagine are important, then all these things will be added unto you. You'll have what you need. You'll have his presence. You'll have his blessing. You'll have all of these benefits. You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now we see what was already alluded to in the Psalms that we sang. In Amos 5:16-17. And this is that sin multiplies grief. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, there is wailing in all the plazas, and in all the streets they say, alas, alas. They also call the farmer to mourning, and professional mourners to lamentation, that's crying and weeping. And in all the vineyards there is wailing, because I will pass through the midst of you, says the Lord. We see that, and we saw in Psalm 16:4, the sorrows of those who have bartered for another God will multiply grief. And if we ask for a time of testimony, if we went to one another and asked, is it true? When you set something else above God, has it multiplied grief? Tell me about it. We would be well beyond polite conversation at that point. We'd be pulling back our breastplates of righteousness and showing the scars of the things that we've faced, the things that we've gone through because we've run after other things. Now, those of us who are older, and those of us who have not walked with Christ our entire lives, you've got the pains. You have the sorrows. You have the ripple effects in your life from the things that you've done. I have them too. But here we're being called upon in Amos 5 to say no more. No more. No more will I add to my sorrows. No more will I add to my grief. No more will I partake of such things. This brings us now to the idea in verse 15, to hate evil. Now, if we wrestle with the idea of hating evil, we can say, who hates evil? We say, oh, me, definitely against it. I'm against evil. Hate Darth Vader, hate all the bad guys. I hate evil. Yeah, we hate evil, sure. Or we say we do. But when we come back and we boil it down to the idea of evil being destruction, and we see that each one of the sins that we commit is destructive. It's destructive. It's destructive for our own hearts. It's destructive for our own souls. It's destructive for future generations. It's destructive for the church community. And it's not as if we're putting on black robes and going out and standing around pentagrams and sacrificing animals, and that's the evil that we're doing. It's simply not loving God more than everything else. It's simply not loving one another more than we love ourselves. That's destructive. That's destruction. That is evil. Here the scripture says, hate it. Hate evil. Hate evil. I've enjoyed, well, some of you know that I enjoy being a smart mouth from time to time. And I've enjoyed when people say that they hate this or they hate that. I've enjoyed saying, save your hatred for your own sin. Which is what we should hate more than anything else. More than tailgaters, more than people running streetlights, more than people walking, even more than people walking down the middle of the street in downtown Beaver Falls. More than that. We should hate our own sin more than that. We should hate our own sin more than political parties. We should hate our own sin more than the sins of others. We should hate it, and to hate it means to be the enemy of it. Be its enemy. Aggressively hate, hate, hate your own sin. And ultimately, it's because it bears a false witness against God, who's called you His son, who's called you His daughter, who has called you holy. So when we pursue destructions, we say, no, I'm not His. No, I'm not holy. So we hate our own sin. Romans 5, 10 and 11 says, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So having been reconciled, we live as people who are reconciled. Now we come to a place of confidence in who we are, and a place of confidence in the presence of God. And for this, we look at verse 15. Hate evil. Love good. And establish justice in the gate. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. We're going to touch on the idea of God being the God of hosts. God of hosts is the God of armies. The God of armies. What is an angelic army like? We look at Scripture and we see from Scripture that angels aren't those little naked fat babies that fly around. And we look and say, oh, they're just so cute and we want to pinch their cheek and everything. When an angel appeared, men fell to the ground like dead men because they were so afraid of a real angel. one angel in this room would level us all in fear and dread, because he would shine so brightly in his holiness, and every shadow of our hearts would be so evident to us. God commands armies and armies and armies of angels. He's that powerful, he is that mighty, and he looks on you and says, "You are mine. You and me, we're good." Now I look at myself and I'm shocked. I'm shocked that God could be that loving to me. And shocked that he has overlooked my sin because of Jesus Christ in his sacrifice. I am amazed that he has put up with me this long. And why has he done it? Because of love. Because of love. Because he has loved you. Demonstrated in Jesus dying while you were yet a sinner. And he says, "Now, as my son and as my daughters, hate evil. Love good." And that is to seek his benefits. To be the enemy of everything destructive in our lives. Everything that goes against his word. So we are not a complacent people. We are not a passive people. But we're a people at war with the God of armies over us, with us, and for us. Live this life. Pray with me. God, our God, we thank you that you meet us, you know us, you love us, and that you equip us for every good thing. God, make us a people who throw off all that is destructive, and make us a people who pursue all of your benefits. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is Psalm 51.